things up last time is that here our Gemara on Davav is talking about chazaka as it relates to usage of somebody else's property, meaning that your property is somehow spilling over onto his property, whether it's literally spilling over, talking about water, or you're resting beams on somebody else's property, or something of that sort. And theoretically, he should have the ability to object because it's impacting him. So at what point does it become a chazaka? And we noted that there are a lot of different usages of the word chazaka flying around halacha, but even just this masechta, and even just this parak, the usage of the term chazaka is flying back and forth. And it's hard to separate out what is going to be the same and what's going to be different about other usages of chazaka. So on this Gemara, we came right off of what seems like a totally different type of chazaka. The chazaka meaning the premise, the presumption of what has happened or what hasn't happened in terms of has a monetary obligation been paid or not. Our Mishnah was talking about whether Shimon, who's going to benefit from the construction of Reuven and therefore has to pay him, when can we assume he has or hasn't paid? And we got into the whole, the Gemara gets into the whole discussion of whether it was a chazaka, somebody would have paid back, would not have paid back, is it too early? Chazaki wouldn't have paid back, that kind of usage of chazaka. And it sounds like our Gemara is transitioning into a whole different kind of chazaka by talking about a chazaka more similar to what we find, say, in the third parak of a chazaka of land ownership, to prove land ownership. Or, let's say, a second parak type of chazaka, where the Gemara is going to talk about the impact one property may have on the other, and when there's the ability to object and when there isn't. And that's also impacted by when there is a establishing effect on the ground, literally in this case, which is also a type of chazaka. So did our Gemara flip from one type of chazaka to the next? And we noted that, well, according to Rabbeinu Tam, actually our Gemara is really just continuing the discussion about chezkas parua, something like that, whether you can assume that there was a payment made already, because it's establishing when usage of one property or the other is significant enough to have expected that the other party will participate in the cost. So we're just continuing that discussion. So it's actually more about that kind of chazaka than it is about anything else. But according to other Rishonim, this Gemara is talking about chazakas more similar to a second or third parak chazaka, either establishing some kind of permission for spilling over onto somebody else's property, or maybe it's even closer to the chazaka of chezkas habatim, which, as we noted, there are some pretty significant differences between even within those chazakas, because sometimes a chazaka is itself a kind of kinyan, and it either creates a reality or establishes that that reality has been created. And we noted that in the third parak, in Chezkas Habatim, a point that often gets missed by people who are just superficially aware of the concept is that the Chezkas Gimel Shanim by a land ownership is specifically not the kinyan, or specifically not what establishes the ownership. It's just proof to one's ownership that came from somewhere else. So there we find that it has to be a chazaka shiyeshimo taina. It has to be a chazaka that is accompanying a separate claim of ownership. So if you, we use the names Murray and Zeke, Murray being the Murray Kama, the original owner of the house, Zeke being the machzik, the guy who is, let's say, now squatting there, although that's not really what's happening, it's not the right word, but the guy who's living there. So Murray will claim, you're in my house. Zeke's point that I've lived here 3 years is not to say, well, I've been here 3 years, it's mine now. But very pointedly, that's not what's going on. He's saying, I bought this house from you 3 years ago. And how do you know that's true? Because I have survived here 3 years without you objecting, and you wouldn't let me live in the house 3 years if it wasn't actually mine. And as the Gemara there also explains, there's a whole complicated dynamic involving a shtar, that normally the shtar should just be able to settle things. And the purchasers should be able to say, look at my shtar, here it is, the proof that I bought this property. So if he doesn't have that, it's a strike against him. So that will endorse the position of Mari, of the original owner, who is also known as the Maharer, the one coming to make a complaint here, because if Zeke really bought it, he should have a shtar. So to that, the response could be, I lost my shtar, but that's not really credible within 3 years. But after it's been 3 years already, you can't expect me to hold on to the shtar. So therefore, if he says, I don't have a shtar, but I've lived here 3 years, so then the 3 years offsets the shtar issue. So don't hold me responsible for not having a shtar. It's been 3 years, you can't expect me to keep it, and it's been 3 years without your objecting. So therefore, that all comes to endorse my claim that I legitimately bought this. And it does a combination of two things. It endorses my claim, and it knocks out a argument against it. Where's your shtar? Why should I have a shtar this long after? And when we learn Cheskes Avatim, we'll see about Hashem, hopefully we will at least dip our toes into Cheskes Avatim a little bit later in the year. The interplay between those two things, you know, what comes first, what comes second, is it the expectation of a shtar being there that causes the problem, or is it the 3 years that is the benefit? That's a whole complicated back and forth. But that's just an important element of what is required in that context. Now, knowing all that background, and having seen, hopefully, some of the sources relevant to our Gemara and Davav, what facts, what basic standards need to be clarified in the context of Cheskas Tashmishim on our Dav? So Reuven lets his property spill over onto Shimon, he lets his water spill out onto Shimon's property, he puts his beams on top of Shimon's property, and he's claiming a chazaka. What needs to happen, or does not need to happen, in order for that to be a valid claim? So what issues are the Rishonim going to have to clarify here? And starting from the question of, do we compare it to Cheskas Avatim? Is it the same? Is it different? Is it comparable to a second pair of chazaka? What would you want to know? What are issues for the Rishonim to clarify? What would you think? Yeah, you're
on. How long does he have to be doing these actions?
Okay, that's a big one, right? So we know that by Cheskas Avatim, I need 3 years. So do I need 3 years here also? Or is it immediate? Or is something close to immediate? Right, and what else is a important question that would exist in terms of trying to figure out if they're related, if this is a Cheskas Avatim type of chazaka or something else? Yeah, right?
What's the claim there?
Right? Oh, what's the claim? Right, or more fundamentally, do I need a claim? Right, so let's try to tease that out a little bit. What would the issue be about if I need a claim or I don't need a claim?
Well, with the house, the guy has to claim that he bought the house from the Marikama.
Right.
So is he claiming that he owns the land where the water spills over, or what's the claim there?
Right, so is there some kind of a position being staked here that there was a prior agreement? Is that what's going on? Right, so that's going to be a very fundamental question. And the truth is, even though the timing question seems to come first in some sense of the word, but the taina question is very fundamental, right? Because in essence, that question goes really to the core of the sugya. Right, why? Think about that for a second. Why is that maybe the most fundamental question you could ask about Cheskas Tashmishim? Right, whether it needs a taina or not could be arguably the most fundamental question. Why? Because, yeah, Shmuel?
The question, whether it needs a Tana or not. Well, because if it needs a Tana that shows that you're not acquiring, you're proving, you're proving ownership.
Right.
So that it would reflect what type of chazaka.
Okay, yeah, very much, right? So essentially, it's the question, what is a chezkas tashmishin? Right? Is a chezkas tashmishin a proof of something? Or is it the essentially the process of it happening in the first place? So in the context of chezkas abatim, we've established that it's just a proof of something. It's not how it happens. So I think I mentioned last time, this could get confusing because people who are... If you're superficially familiar with the concept of Chesed Roshanim, it's easy to think it's something else. That, because in secular law, there's theoretically such a thing. If you look up the concepts, look on Wikipedia, look up the concepts of adverse possession or squatter's rights, that's why I said before it may not be so appropriate, that word here, but, you know, there could be a concept that somebody could take possession just by inhabiting something for a certain period of time. But in Chezkas Abatim, it's clear in the Gemara that's not what's happened. That the Chazaka is the proof, not the action itself. So it's a very fundamental question here. What's happening? Is there some kind of Chazaka that is the proof that there was some prior deal? Is that the idea that basically when I want to rest my beams on your house or I want to spill my water into your house, and you say, no, don't do that after some period of time. What am I saying? Am I saying, no, what are you talking about? We agreed. I paid you. Maybe I'll claim I paid you. We worked out a deal. I came to you a year ago and I said, listen, I'm going to need to direct my water onto your property. And, you know, you drove a hard bargain, but I paid you for this. Is that what's happening here? Or maybe no, there's no claim of that, but it's just that, listen, you haven't objected, so now between the two of us, we have to see who's right, so now it's me, because I've been doing this and you haven't objected. So it's a pretty fundamental difference. Right, so is this din like Chezkas Abatim, where it's a proof of something? Or is it like some other method, and what exactly is happening in the second parak is still left to be determined, but is this basically that it's the action of usage that itself is establishing something? And if that is, that's going to have to require its own explanation, because how exactly am I creating reality just by doing what I want to do? How does that give me a right that wasn't otherwise there? If I bought it, okay, that's how I have the right. I paid for it. But just, you know, let's say, like, better to ask forgiveness than to ask permission. So if I just do something, so then now that makes it right. Seems a little like a slippery slope, especially if there's water all over the floor. So is that what we're saying here? So that's probably the most fundamental question. So that detail of whether we need a taina or not is going to be a very, very telling detail about what's happening. Now, the question of time, 3 years, not 3 years, or something else, is going to be probably somehow connected to that, even though we'll see not 100%, but logic would indicate that it's connected to that, because in Chezkas Abatim, 3 years doesn't come out of nowhere. 3 years has to do with whole calculation of how long a person could be expected to hold on to a shtar. So a shtar is only going to be there if there was some kind of deal. The shtar is going to reflect some arrangement. So the notion of there being some kind of three-year requirement would logically, most logically, be connected to that particular kind of time. And without that, it's harder to explain, although we'll see, it may exist anyway. Okay, so now the question of taina, no taina, 3 years, no 3 years, etc. So here one could imagine these are issues that Rishonim deal with. And indeed, you will find that there is a mixture of different opinions. So what do you find? So for example, let's look the easiest in terms of just being present in front of us, is let's look at the Rashbam. Right, what does the Rashbam say on Ardaf and Vav Mud Aleph? So Achzik Lehurdi, commenting on that. It says Tosfos, the Rashbam is quoting. So Kol Chazakos Halalu Dishnaitim. All of the Chazakos in our Gemara here. Einan Chazakos Shloshanim. It's not 3 years. Zelo Shayech Shloshanim El Agabe Cheskes Karter. That the notion of 3 years from the third parak, that's only somebody wants to claim that he owns land. Shemachzik b'steichavero, that he is holding on to somebody else's field. V'omer lekachtia mimcha, and he says that I got it from you, I purchased it from you, I bought it from you. Aval hacha b'cheskes tashmishin ba'alma mairi. Here, no one's claiming he owns the land. I just want to say that I have some presumption of usage. So shemishtavish b'shal chavera, I'm using your property, I'm making benefit from it. And that he's able to do it, if he's able to use it in his presence, and the other guy's quiet, and he knows about it, so that's a chazaka. So we say immediate, it's not immediate the first second, we have to establish, and this is something the post can talk about, to the extent that this is going to be the conclusion of the halacha, those who feel that it is, so you have to figure out what does immediate mean, if it's not 3 years, so it's something, because you could sneak in the middle of the night, and presumably that's not a chazaka. So the other person has to see it and be quiet. Kedemuchach lekaman, damrina v'chavrei v'tina la'alter ha'v'chazaka. That if a person does something permanent, you know, he does something to really show that he plans on continuously using it, because if he's just using it in a way that can be dismissed as a one-time thing, it's not going to be so significant either. So the more it looks like this is something that's going to continue, and the other guy says, all right, whatever, he doesn't object, so then that's going to be a chazaka. V'tayma mishum damrina le'shavik enesh zeh ishtamushe b'toich shelo tashma shel kviyas v'lo rishoso. Because it's fair to assume that nobody's going to let his friend use his property in a permanent way, in an established way, without his permission. V'kevan shemishtamish elofon v'shayzeh. So, since he's using this, the other guy's quiet, yesh loymar denotol rishos mimenu, so then we can justifiably say that he must have gotten permission from him. Oh, nasim loymamanu macherlo tashmishte. Or maybe he paid for it, maybe he gave him money, and he purchased this right of usage. V'hani milei dehavi chazaka k'ayin shetayin, and it's in this case that it is a chazaka, k'igon shetayin hu, Macherli onasali b'matana. Right, so that's what we're talking about. So, do you need 3 years according to Rashbam? No. But what do you need? A taina. Right, so there is a claim here, but it doesn't have a 3 year standard. Avam tain nishtamashti b'fana v'shasak eina chazaka. But if there's no separate taina, it's just the fact of having used it, and the other guy was quiet, so then that's not a chazaka. Kitatanam b'kaman v'cheskes habatim kol chazaka she'eni mataina eina chazaka. So any chazaka that doesn't have a taina is not going to count. So in other words, are we looking to cheskes habatim? Yes. But there's still some difference. Yeah, Al?
What's the svara that it's immediate?
What's the svara immediate without a taina?
No, I'm saying even with a taina. Why is it?
Okay, so let's talk about this. Let's finish right here. See, kol chazaka sheni matayin in a chazaka. So yes, it says later on that that's what it says later on. The kol chazaka sheni matayin in a chazaka. Keitzad amelo ma ata osa b'saych sheli. If somebody says, "What are you doing on my property?" Who amelo shlomer liotam shem davar me'elam. They say, "Well, no one stopped me. Right? I came in. I've been here for a while, and nobody has said anything." So that Gemara in Cheskes Batim says ain't a chazaka. That's not a chazaka. We call chazaka smairi lo shna cheskes shloishanim lo cheskes seimechad klihani. So according to Rashbam, the Rashbam is very helpful, very clear, is taking a strong position here. That are we looking to cheskes habatim? Yes. So the fundamental mechanism is the same as cheskes habatim. Right, fundamentally, this is the same process, that this does not do anything on its own. It only does it through accompanying another claim. It is proof of something else. And just to see that it's the same thing on the in the Mishnah over there, in Ches Kizabatim and Daf Mem Aleph, the Mishnah tells us, you turn to Mem Aleph for a second, Kol Chazaka She'ena Matayna Eina Chazaka. So here that's what the Mishnah says, the Rashbam and Ardaf quoted, a Chazaka doesn't have a Taina, it does not count. Kate Zamal Mata Osmos Shaliv, Amrlo Shalom Marli Adam Dami Olam, Eina Chazaka. If a person said, we saw the Rashbam quote this line already, a person says that, here, nobody stopped me, it doesn't count. That's not a chazaka. Simply being present does not count. Shemachartili, shemasatul matana, avicha macharli, avicha masul matana, harezu chazaka. So if you have something else to substantiate why you're there, you say, you sold it to me, you gave it to me, your father sold it to me, your father gave it to me, which is going to be a very significant difference between the two, then that's going to be enough to establish it. So you're going to be able to support that claim with your presence. But the Mishnah telling us clearly that just your presence, that does not count. And the Rashbam says the same story here. Rashbam and Ardaf says the same story here. Now, Al asks, well, what about, why should we say then that we don't need the 3 years? So here, you should see also, I don't remember if I gave this to look at or not, but the Rashbam also supplements himself with his comments here on Daf Mem Aleph from Aleph. That, I'm actually, you know, in the first parak, I'm really reading from Rashi. This is Rashi here, and it's Rashbam in the third parak, I should clarify that. But here, Kol Chazaka She'eni Matayni Nechazaka. So you see the Rashbam here on the Mishnah. Bein b'cheskes gimel shanim dekarkos ubatim vilanos. So whether we're talking about that which requires 3 years, like real estate. Bein b'cheskes yom echad. Or whether it's just a very immediate, a very quick chazaka. Kigon hanach namrinu le'el. Like that which says in Vav Medalo, Haksu l'hurdi, etc. Or Gemara. So Myri, both cases, what it's talking about here, they require a taina. And what we're saying is that you have to be able to explain, you have to be able to advance a claim, by what authority are you holding on to this? You didn't just sneak in the middle of the night and no one stopped you, but you have some other reason that you're justified here. And therefore, since you say something reasonable, Shabidinyar the Karkizah, that justifiably, legitimately, you went into this place. And through that, you were able to hold on to it for the period of time. The guy's quiet. He didn't object to the chazak. And the complainer is not believed to say, well, it wasn't my decision, it wasn't through me that you went down here, but you did it without my permission. If that was really true, that he wasn't okay with this, then why did he let it happen? So that just supplements the basic claim that the other basis is there to have entered into the property. So here, in both places, really, Rashi, quoting the Tosfos in the first daf, and the Nardaf, and the Rashbam here, are saying clearly that the Chazak on Ardaf is mechanically the same thing as Chezkas Abatim, has the same rules, but doesn't have the three-year period. So why should it not have the three-year period, Al asks. So what do you think? Can you suggest why it might be different?
Well, I could say, I think the reason we say according to the Rabbanan that you do need 3 years for a Cheskat Batim is because that's how long people hold on to their shtars.
Mm-hmm.
So they could say here, could say people don't have shtars.
Oh,
in this case.
Okay. Right, so here it's a dark night without any shtar. So that would seem to be the difference, right? The whole notion of 3 years is because of this complicated back and forth dynamic as to the competing claims here, that if you really bought it, you'd have a shtar. And the fact that you have to wish upon your shtar, that indicates that you didn't have it, you didn't buy it legitimately. So it creates a reis. And If it's beyond 3 years, so then that reis that disappears. Because beyond 3 years, it's possible that you are there and you're no longer watched over the shtar. Now, when I said about a complicated dynamic, we see if we get to see the sugya of Chazaka Zabatim a little bit, that you have to figure out, is that because, is it dafka 3 years? Because it's 3 years a person could be likely to complain, so you'll hold on for your shtar for that period of time because there's significance to the 3 years, and then after that it's no longer a priority, or it's kind of a chicken or an egg question as to what comes first, but there's a relationship between the holding on to the shtar and the 3 years. So without the shtar, without the presence of a shtar, without the expectation of a shtar, we don't need 3 years. So then maybe we just need a chazaka and a taina. But taina, we don't necessarily need. Yes, sir?
And is it possible this could depend on minhag ha-makom? And that it seems to be based on this is what people do. So if people in this time and place did keep shtars for these kinds of things, would that be taken into account? Would you then say, then you need
three chazaka? Oh, that's a perfect segue question. That's a perfect, like, infomercial question, brother. Are any times when it's different? Yes. So take a look, for example. I think I asked you to see this. Look on Ninches and the Beis, where the Mishnah talks about different kinds of windows. Now, remember this? The bigger windows and the smaller windows. So if you look at the Rashbam on the Mishnah in Ches Amud Beis by Chalon HaMitzris, so there it's talking about, it's really Agav, it kind of comes in the context, just parenthetically, but a situation where there would not be Chazaka in this particular window. So, but he throws in the middle that despite the fact that Hichzik Ba, the second line after that Dibra Maschil Chalon HaMitzris, just to the phrase in the middle, that it's not a chazaka there, despite the fact Hichzik Ba Shalishonim, 3 years. So apparently, sometimes you do need 3 years for Cheskes Tashmishin. So the Torah explains essentially, just to really directly address Al's point, that yes, that maybe it depends, that maybe there are different kinds of circumstances, and that it depends whether it's a big deal or not a big deal, that maybe there are certain things that are a big enough deal that people did have a practice of writing a contract for, and that if there's no contract, that does raise some eyebrows. But it all depends on, maybe like you're saying, the minhag ha-makom, what do people do for this kind of usage? So to let some water spill over to drip onto your property, maybe the practice was, what's discussed in our daf and daf vav, these things there was no minig to write a shtar for. So, yes, it's like chesk zabatim that you need a taina, because no such thing as the chazak itself creating the usage, creating the reality. It's only a proof of something. So you need the taina for it to be the proof of. But 3 years, no, because 3 years is all tied into shtar. If there's no expectation of shtar, there's no 3 years. So what about this Chalon HaMitzri, where the Rashbam is bringing up shtar? So that, like Al is saying, the Torah explains that, so that apparently there was an expectation of shtar. There are some kind of usages that there would be such an expectation, and then that becomes a reisa. Not having the shtar becomes a reisa, and you would need to survive longer. You would need to survive the period of time that one can outlive the shtar protection expectation. So that would seem to be flowing from your point, that it should be tied into practice. Now the Ramban, there's Ramban and the Mochamas over here, there's a lot to say. The Ramban agrees with the Rashbam in the first part, and now the second part. That basically Ramban assumes that everything, there's no shtar for Teshmishin, and that it's always going to be basically immediate. Say basically immediate because we need some period of time to establish that the person is not objecting when you'd expect him to object. But once that has happened, so then that should be enough time, and that's going to be proof. Okay, so far so good. So we find that there's clearly a view in Rishonim here that mechanically this is the same thing as Cheskes Habatim. But the major difference is that it's just got this detail difference, which adds up to a lot because it's 3 years. But this detail difference that we don't have to account for a missing shtar, and therefore we don't need to wait 3 years in order to establish it. Okay? So there are other views in the Rishonim that you may have seen. So, for example, get some bookmarks here. So, the Rush and Rabbeinu Yonah, hopefully you had a chance to see that, that the Rush and Rabbeinu Yonah explain that you always need 3 years. That is the basic concept of a chazaka, and that there's no such thing as it happening without 3 years. We don't have a concept of a chazaka that happens immediately, and therefore, if that's going to be the rule here, that we need to have a chazaka, so then the chazaka is going to require 3 years. So here you just see the Rush, the brief line at the end of Siman Yugimel, Paragraph of Siman Yugimel, just quotes the Gemara, and he adds here, V'hachanami ayri b'chezke shaloshana v'chazaka sheyeshi matayna. So you need a taina, and you also need 3 years. So he compares it absolutely to the structure of Chezke Sabatim, and including the period of 3 years. And the Rabbeinu Yonah says something similar, and he goes on to explain that we just don't have any source to establish this a chazaka for less than that. Whether sometimes there's a messias, that there's an expectation of a shtar also, that's an interesting possibility. But that's also something to, it's also something to consider. So we have ready those shittas that either we need a taina, but we don't need 3 years, or maybe we don't even have an immediate chazaka, we need a taina and 3 years. Okay, now we also have some of the Rishonim maintaining that we don't even need a taina. And that's the view of the Rambam and the Gaonim. And the Rambam and the Gaonim maintain essentially that you have a chazaka right away. Again, right away, posts can clarify exactly what it means, but it doesn't mean literally right away. It means that there has to be something happening to establish that there's usage and that the other parties saw there was usage, and that it couldn't be dismissed as just a one-time thing. Enough that there's a basic premise that nobody would allow other people to use his property in a way that's clearly going to continue unless he's okay with it. But that becomes very interesting, because if you don't maintain that you need to have, you don't maintain that you need to have a taina, so apparently it's the process itself that's making it happen. So that itself is very interesting. But let me ask you a question. So the notion that you should have to wait or you shouldn't have to wait, that we see Rishonim debating here. So do you have any indication from our Gemara one way or another? Any indication from Agamara one way or another? No? What do you think? What's the Amud Beis? The Gemara continues on Amud Beis. The Gemara seems to take any stance? Well, there is a discussion about a sukkah. Do you recall that? And so what does the Gemara say about that? Say if somebody has a little shack that they're using for shade. So what is the rule there?
After 7 days.
Okay, after 7 days, yeah. After 7 days, if it's a sukkah, right? That if it's a sukkah, we assume after 7 days, then that makes a difference if it keeps it past the sukkah time. And if it is not a sukkah, then it's 30 days. But what does it sound like from both of those scenarios? Sounds like less than 3 years, right? Either 30 days or 7 days, both less than 3 years. So how do you understand that? Does that seem to be a slam dunk? Doesn't that seem to settle the issue?
What would have been a Yonah response, but it says there's no source for less than 3 years.
So what do you think, right? It's a pretty powerful question, right? So there are two approaches in the Rishonim. So one approach follows the view of Rabbeinu Tam. The other Rishonim say it also, Rabbeinu Yonah brings this. But we mentioned the view of Rabbeinu Tam that our Gemara is actually not really focused on Chesed Tashmishim. It's not really trying to teach rules about that. It's trying to teach rules about when there's a presumption that someone is cooperating with what the other guy set up, that Shimon is interested in participating in what Reuven has built. That was the whole flow. So it's in that context that the Gemara is trying to figure out the significance of a shack that could be a sukkah, and past 7 days or past 30 days. But as far as creating a future Cheskes Tashmishin, maybe the Gemara is not talking about that. There is also an approach to the Baal Hamor. So the Baal Hamor over here has a different approach. So the Baal Hamor directly discusses this Gemara. In my fancy Gemara, it's Tesamar Aleph Bedape Harif. Like in the old ones, it would have been Gimel Medbeis or Dalamar Aleph. It's a short line. Let's read you the line. So his language is that, quoting our Gemara, he says, Lav lememra delo ba'inan shalashanim, kamosha dimu harbe mechach mehadar. Right? It's not to say you don't need 3 years, as many of the Chachmei Hador seem to have dreamed up, seem to have imagined. Rather, how do you answer it? Ela b'cheshbin shalashanim min hashir hazeh ve'eloch. That the count only starts after that point. That when the Gemara says 7 days or 30 days, it's telling you when to start counting. So how does that sound to you? Does that sound like a compelling approach? What do you think? Does that sound like a good resolution? Your own, you were bothered by the question. Are you happy with the answer?
Yeah.
So why do you say eh?
I think it would be an odd thing for the Gemara to say, like, only start counting. Like,
why? Yeah.
Like,
why?
Give their, because I feel like if the Gemara is talking about chazaka or of that topic, then we're not, usually you don't, they're giving you the measurement of how long you need for a chazaka, not when you should start counting.
Okay, right. But you can even take it a little further, Al.
It may just be a textual point, but it seems like the language of have chazaka and lo have chazaka is not about when you start counting. What is it right then?
Okay, it's a little similar to what Yaron is saying. Right? But there's also probably a more fundamental point that the Ramban makes in the Melchamos over here. He argues on the Baal Hamor. And he says that doesn't seem to make sense just in terms of the concept of chazakah and its timing. That the whole nature of these chazakahs is that they're cumulative. And that's the whole point. Right? That if there wasn't something we needed to clarify, we wouldn't have a chazaka at all. So when the Gemara is telling us that, well, after 30 days, it becomes clear that he plans on keeping this shack up, and when it was there for the purpose of a sukkah, then it's 7 days. So why shouldn't that all be incorporated into the count? The whole point is that when you have enough time has passed, we can now look back at that whole period and say that we've accounted for all the other possibilities. So why should it make sense to say that in order for this to work, we have to start counting after we've clarified the other possibilities. The whole nature of these chazakas is that we can go back in time to when they started, and because enough time has passed, we can clarify all of the expectations. So the Ramban doesn't think that that is a satisfactory answer, but he doesn't need an answer because L'shitaso, it starts right away anyway. So he's not troubled by this Gemara because it doesn't contradict his position. But according to the Baal HaMor's position, that you need to wait and you have to account for this Gemara, says, how would that tell us anything? Okay, so far so good. Says Tosfos also, just take a look at Tosfos in the second paragraph that talks about this. Tosfos in Chav Gimel Amar Aleph and Lo Yachpor in the second paragraph quotes the Rivam, Perish Ribar Mordechai, Kevan Shalom Baal Ahachzik Bekarkel Shechaveru Velomer Shalohu Ela Tashpish Ba'alma. So a situation where somebody's just trying to use the karka, not trying to claim that it's his. So Shenenemi Menem O Elas Chazaka Shaloi B'Taina. So then you don't need a Taina. He's probably not saying that he was sold to him, and this is similar to that position, the cases in our Gemara, above Manalif, the Asik Lahardi, the Malas Chazaka Shalai Bataina. Midalo Micha Gimel Shane Machala. The Ain Nira to him Lahik Nalo, Kihirzik Lahardi, and my Hirzik Luxury. So here, this Rivam has kind of an in-between position that doesn't require a taina, but does require 3 years, which is a little bit of a harder position to explain, because the 3 years is connected to the shtar, is connected to the taina, so that's an unusual position, requires a little bit more explanation, but that gives us, rounds out all the possibilities. You want to mix and match, right? So you have taina and time, and either one or the other, or not, so you basically end up with these, this grid with the four possibilities, so all of them have advocates. So you have Rashi and the Rashbam, that you need a taina, but you don't need time, and then a nuance, maybe the Rashbam says sometimes you need time, if there's a situation where the minute requires a shtar, and the Ramban be across the board, you need taina, yes, but no time. You have the view of the Rosh and Rabbeinu Yonah that you need taina and time. You have the view of this Tosfos that you don't need a taina, but you do need time. It's a harder combination to explain. And you have the view of the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch Adapsis. It's also the view of the Gaonim. So you're covering a lot of generations here, the Gaonim and the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, that you don't need a time or a taina. So that is significant. Again, the taina issue is very fundamental because it seems to go to the whole core of what's happening here. And the timing issue is probably connected to that. We saw different permutations. And again, it doesn't mean it's immediate, but as long as there's enough to establish that there's no objection.
You've been repeating the Rabbeinu Tam's answer for the question we had in
the Rabbeinu. So Rabbeinu Tam in general is saying that our sugya is not trying to teach us about Chezkas Tashmisha. And that's a distraction. And that the reason the Gemara is talking about these cases is just continuing the discussion that we were having beforehand about trying to figure out who is telling the truth here about having paid or not paid. So it just directly flows from what the Gemara was talking about beforehand. So the whole question of the different usages of the word chazaka, right, that cheskes abatim is one type of chazaka, and chazaka eino dam perei tos mana would seem to be a totally different kind of chazaka. Really different kind of chazaka. So our details on Da Vav about the beam and about the spilling water, what's that connected to? So according to most of the Rishonim, it's connected somehow to Chezkas Abatim. It's just a question how much. And according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's really connected to Chazake in Adam Perea Tosmano, just the expectation of who's right, who's not right, that when there's been a certain amount of presumption let's say, audacity here in terms of how much you're using the other guy's property, then we can assume that there's more of an agreement between them. So it doesn't have to fit any other details. It's not what our Gemara is interested in. Okay? So, no problem. So, essentially, we saw basically all the possibilities mixed and matched here. So, the position that seems to really dominate, the Ramah, we could talk about, is a little bit unclear what his conclusion is, but at least the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam and the Gaonim seem to land on the position that would be the most makel towards the machzik here, towards the user, that he doesn't need a taina and he doesn't need time. So the core, like we said, is the issue of taina. That's the more significant detail here. So if you're saying you don't need a taina, then you're saying that this process of usage is what creates the reality. So how does that happen? And what is there about using somebody else's property that makes it your schus now? According to the Rishonim, we say you need a taina. It's easier to understand. It's just proof of something. Okay, it's reasonable proof. That if I claim I had a deal with you, your behavior and not objecting supports that claim. But if I'm making no such claim, and I'm just saying I was bold and arrogant here, and I started using your stuff, and you were nice enough not to complain, so you lose because of that. All right, teachers are nice, guys finish last. Is that the point? So what is there that creates a reality through that? Yeah?
Could be mechila.
Okay, so it could be mechila. I forgive you for saying that, because there is a view that that's the case. Right, so that's how, that seems to be what's happening, right? It seems to be that mechila is the operative factor here. But you have to figure out, why does that do anything? So the Ketzos happens to say that it's like you do find by karka in general, that chazaka is a type of kinyan. So maybe the usage is the kinyan here. But that's a little surprising that that should be enough just to, on its own, make the whole transaction without any other kind of independent agreement. And before the Ksos was the Rashba, and the Rashba said that it was a function, like Al was saying, a function of Mechila. But how does Mechila work to transfer anything? So the Achronim address this, and they have different suggestions. Among the suggestions, and truth is, even though the Ksos was saying something different than the Rashba, but a lot of the explanations could probably help to fill in the blanks of what the Ksos is saying also, the idea that there should be a kinyan here, when it doesn't really have everything else that it should have. So there's something missing. So even the Rashba and the Ksos are saying different things, but the added elements that the Achronim suggest probably help for both of them. Is that, well, what is this guy really looking to get? Right? He's not looking to get actual ownership, which should have a higher threshold to acquire actual ownership of the land. But he's looking for just a privilege. So privileges are a lower threshold. And Varon Cutler talks about this also, that really what's happening here, it's basically a battle of privileges. It's basically a shibud, that the house owner who's being mooched off of here, so he has a shibud on the other guy, he has a schus to say, you can't use my house for it. But he's not actually trying to keep his house from being taken. He's just trying to invoke a schus he has to not let this other guy spill over onto him. So that schus is use it or lose it. That essentially, if you don't invoke that schus, so then the balance of shared property, the topic of our Masechta, the topic of our first part of the Masechta, the whole balance of how people interact in the world shifts. So initially, the presumption goes with the neighbor that I can deny you the right to spill onto my property. But that's basically a balancing between two neighbors and their various rights. And if I choose not to protect that, then it shifts over to you. And mechila couldn't work for actually transferring property. But it works because that's what we're talking about, a shibud here, rather than an actual kinyan. And some also invoke the fact that there already is a active use happening from the user. It's already basically in his reshus to a certain extent, which is a little unsatisfying because it does seem to support the arrogant approach and the nice guys lose approach. But that since he went ahead and started using it, so now the presumption is in his favor. So it's not like he's actually trying to acquire a right. He took the right. But it's the other guy's right to say stop. And say, you can't use my property this way. But once he chooses not to do so, so the fact, as impolite as it may seem, but the fact that the other guy, the spiller, is already spilling, so then that puts the presumption in his favor. And some of the Achronim compare this. They said, where do you see Mechila working? Right, so Mechila works by a chov. Right, that if I lent you money, and you owe me money, I lent you $10, you owe me the $10. So I could be Mechila, and now you don't longer have to pay me back. So why does Mechila work there? Right? Is that Mechila a form of kinyan? How was I makne you the $10 by being mochalas? Now it happens to be, there's a whole discussion in the Achronim, Stipler about this, is mechila some kind of a kinyan? Or is it something else? But presumably it doesn't seem like it's a real kinyan in the normal sense. Right, so if I wanted to give Max $10, so I just say, okay, I'm mechil, and all of a sudden $10 transfers over to you? Presumably not. But if I lent you $10, and tomorrow, before you pay me back, I say I'm Echel, what's the difference? What's the key difference?
Tangible or not?
Tangible, but also... Sorry?
There's a kinyan.
Well, it isn't necessarily a kinyan beforehand. But the reason we're satisfied with less than a kinyan is because it's not. I'm not being mocking you the $10. I'm allowing you to keep the presumption that you already have. He has a shibud to me, he has a chov to me, the $10. And the actual $10 is in his pocket, is in his rishus, just he has a chov to pay it back. So as far as just erasing that chov, and therefore letting you keep the $10 you already have, my mechila works. So could be that there's a similar kind of structure here. You're already using my property. You're already spilling over to my property. And I have a zchus to be able to say to you, stop. Just like I have a zchus to say, reach into your pocket and pay me back the $10. But if I'm moichel, so then you can just keep your $10 and you can keep spilling onto my property. And maybe it's effective for that purpose. So some want to suggest, they say there's a sefer called Divrei Sofrim, beginning in Mechaber's name, it's a contemporary sefer for the Basra. Not to be confused with Rav Chanan Wasserman's Divrei Sofrim or Rav Shechter's forthcoming sefer Divrei Sofrim. But it's a different sefer. But he notes that maybe with this, you could explain also the Baal HaMor that the Ramban didn't like. Right, the Baal HaMor who said that the chazaka should only start counting from a week or 30 days. And the Ramban said, why all of a sudden here do we only start counting after a certain time? The whole point of counting is to incorporate all the concerns. He says, yeah, but that means that because it works together with the presumption that it's already happening from the machzik.
So in the case of the sukkah, we need to clear a certain threshold in order to say it's already happened. So once we've gone past that point, so now it's in his chazakah, so to speak, it's in his presumption. And then we can start counting from then in order to say it's significant. And he notes this may also be relevant to a question that Achronim deal with, or Shmuel Rozovsky and others deal with, that if you have a suffix about a cheskes tashmishi, let's say these two neighbors are fighting over it, and we don't have enough facts to actually clarify who's right here. There's some undetermined aspect that leaves it in a suffix. So who do we leave it with? If it's a suffix, who's going to win the suffix? So Shmuel said he thinks it makes sense that it should probably be the homeowner, the guy who says, don't spill into my house. If we don't clearly know the other guy has a cheskes tashmishin, so it would make sense that we should leave it with the marikama, essentially, and say that he still has the right to object. But he quotes in the Mukhe Yosef that says the other way, that the benefit of the doubt goes to the one using it. So why should that be? It's hard to understand. Logically, he would have said the other way. So this sefer, he wanted to suggest that because that's the whole premise of the cheskes tashmishin, the whole premise of the cheskes tashmishin is that the guy is already using it. So he becomes the default position. So therefore, the suffix favors the default, favors the chazak in that sense. So therefore, we give the benefit of the doubt to the one who is using it. Make sense? Are you clear? Okay, we'll just recap and then we'll daven. And again, tomorrow we'll continue with Chazar. There's been a few requests for topics, so I'm going to prioritize those. And please feel free, even before tomorrow, to send messages with requests. I'll try to highlight those also. But just to quickly recap what we spoke about, so we saw that our Gemara talks about Cheskes Tashmishin, and it's a lot of different chazakas in Halacha, and it could be that's just a continuation of a very different kind of chazaka, in the sense of chazaka in adam pareya tos mano. That's the view of Rabbeinu Tam. But most Rishonim understand it's a different kind of chazaka. It's a chazaka of a presumption of usage. But then still the question as to how to understand that chazaka. And is it comparable to the third parak cheskes abatim chazaka? And if so, to what extent? Because there are points along the middle. And we see that chazaka of cheskes abatim, contrary to what may be a popular misconception, the chazaka does not acquire the property through 3 years of living there, but rather it is the proof to the independent claim that one has purchased it and requires 3 years in order to overcome the reisa that he doesn't have any other proof, that he doesn't have the shtar that he would otherwise be expected to have. So we have to figure out how much of that carries over to our sugya of cheskes tashmishin. And the most significant detail is, do you need a taina or not? Because that goes to the question of what is the chazaka doing? Is the chazaka proof of something and the taina is the ikar and the chazaka is the proof the taina is correct? Or is it that, no, you don't need a taina, the chazaka itself is doing all the heavy lifting. So we saw basically every permutation that according to Rashi, the Rashbam, you need a taina, but you don't need 3 years because that's about shtar. Although the Rashbam seems to have an exception, which the Torah explains that if there's a mimic by the shtar for certain major usages, then you would need a shtar. The Ramban says across the board, there's no timing, there's no shtar concern. So this is just about chazaka. It's taina, yes, but no time considerations. And the Rashi and Ben Yonah say that you need both a taina and 3 years. 3 years is the time for a chazaka. What about our Gemara? It talks about a sukkah in last time. So that could be like Rabbeinu Tam, that sukkah is not talking about Ches Teshmishin, it's talking about establishing the proof between the two neighbors. Or the Balamor says it's there to start the counter at that point. So then the Ramban objects. It says the whole point of counting anything is to incorporate all the concerns, to start from the very beginning. And he doesn't have to answer the question because according to him, it's immediate anyway, so the Gemara works for him. Then we saw Tosfos and Lo Yachpor. Tosfos has the unusual combination of saying you don't need a taina, but you do need 3 years. And the position that may be dominant halacha, the Gaonim and the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, is that it's immediate without a taina. So that's very significant because without a taina, it means that this is what's doing it. And then the question is, how is it doing it? So the so says that the Tashmish is the Kenyan. It's a little hard to fully account for. And the Rashba says it's Mechila. And again, you have to explain how Mechila should do the job. So there are various svaras that you find, which probably could help both the Rashba and the Ksos, easily the one starting point. But that we're not talking about trying to acquire actual property here. We're talking about just a shibud, trying to establish a right, which should understandably have a lower threshold than property. And that's significant, especially like Ravaran articulated it, that if you have basically a clash of rights between two neighbors, so there's a slight edge to one over the other, but then once the person doesn't choose to invoke that right, so then the edge flips to the other guy. And some also point out that because he's in active use already, so that kind of makes it in his domain. So therefore, Mechila should be enough to leave it in his domain once it's already there, even if it's not enough to actually transfer. And we noted that's the comparison to a chov, that Mechila works to erase a chov, but not to create a new kinyan transferring something that isn't there yet. And the fact that the lova, the borrower, has it in his property, and it's just that he has a chov to pay it back, so Mechila is effective on that level to cancel his obligation. So too, here, the user is already using it, so the Mechila is effective to leave that in its default and allow him to continue using it. And we noted also that that's invoked to explain the discussion that Shmuel Rozovsky and others have about a suffix. If we're not sure who's right here, so as you would have thought, that the homeowner should have the benefit of the doubt, that he should presumably still be able to invoke his right to object, that the chazaka should be on his side, except that it sounds like from the Muki Yosef it's the other way, so why should that be? So maybe it's the same idea that because he's already actively using it, so therefore the default is in his favor, and if we have a suffix, we should leave it like that. Okay, so look forward to continuing with the dark tomorrow. Who would like to